All right, if you guys have your Bibles today, you are going to need them. We're going to be in some scripture today. We are going to be wrapping up our Sermon on the Mount series. And so this is just the last verse, kind of like the recap of the Sermon on the Mount. And so let me begin with a prayer. Jesus, we come before you, and even as the verse says, Jesus finished these sayings. Lord, as you finish these sayings today in our lives, may they never be finished for us in the living out of them. May we come to you and understand that as you opened your mouth and you taught us, Lord, that is for us to learn and for us to practice. And so, Jesus, as we look, take one final look at the Sermon on the Mount today, may we never leave it. May it be in our lives, saturated there forever. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. So when we started the Sermon on the Mount, it started with saying this about Jesus. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and then we have Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we went through the entire Sermon of the Mount, and we started this. You guys, do you remember when we started it? Anybody? How long ago that was?
Like December.
December? Okay, Josiah says December.
Like January?
January? Nope. So it was October. That's a good guess too, but May 8th. 2023. It's almost been an entire year we've spent here, and now we are obviously at March 17th, 2024, and we are in our final moments in this sermon. And I pray, this is one of my prayers for this today, is that we may react like those who first heard it, because we can see how they reacted. We've gone extremely slow through this sermon, and I pray that as we have done this, that it might sink into our lives and we might never leave what Jesus has instructed to us through this. We took Jesus' one sermon and we broke it down into 40 sermons.
Wow.
That's what we did. And the reason we do this is because care, not speed, is the thing that we need as Christians in our lives to have Scripture sink in, but not only sink in, but impact our lives, impact the ways that we live. And so this sermon should impact us regardless if we choose to believe it and live it out or not. Jesus opened his mouth and he instructed. And it is surely a beautiful life that Jesus talks about here. In fact, I was thinking about it this morning. Once I gave my friend a copy of a book that I really love. And it's a beautiful book full of stories and reimagining a different type of life. And when she returned the book, she told me, "This story is so beautiful. I only wish I could live that way." And so this is how I feel about the Sermon on the Mount. This teaching is so beautiful. It's so vast and it's so detailed at the same time. It's so different. This kingdom that Jesus is proclaiming is so different from what we see here on earth, what the first people that saw it see and what we see as well. And I want to live what Jesus is talking about here. And that's the heart that we get to come into this. But as we close this, I want to end on two thoughts about Jesus. I want to, as we leave this sermon, I want the nutrition that we gained from it to stay with us. So the first thought is this, from this verse, the crowds were astonished. Think of yourself in that crowd. Sure, there's a sea of people there and they were astonished. But each, you know, we can imagine that each individual was astonished. That it wasn't just the crowds, that it was people in that crowds. They don't give us the names in Scripture, but it could have been like you or me listening to Jesus. So when Jesus sat down to teach the crowds, you know what they did? They listened well. They were taking it in. I imagine them kind of sitting on the edge of their seat, turning their head so that they could hear every word that Jesus was saying. because they were paying attention to the words of Jesus. They noticed the beauty and the grace in the word of Jesus, and they were amazed that someone like this guy, Jesus, could be saying these types of things. Jesus was not a scribe or an elected official. He was a carpenter's son, and people around Galilee would have known that. He was a blue-collar, everyday, he came from a blue-collar family, everyday person, and yet he was a beautiful orator. He was a wonderful speaker. He used wise and wonderful words that were reserved only for the most learned among them, and yet Jesus, in this, astonished the crowd. He astonished the crowd. In fact, one way we could say this is that the crowd was mightily impressed. And this is something that they were going to remember. Have you guys ever done something that you're like, oh, I'm going to remember this for a long time, right? That's happened. That, if you were at this sermon, that would have been you there. I'm going to remember. Do you remember that time we were on the mountain and this guy Jesus was talking, and he used such simple words, not just the eloquent speech and big words and all this theological jargon, but he spoke simple words that went straight to my heart. Maybe not going to remember that if you were there, you might not remember every single word, but it would have been significant, and it would have been a significant event in that region as well. Impressive things are talked about, are they not? Impressive things are talked about. And we can imagine, since it said the scriptures tell us that Jesus' fame grew as he continued to minister, these people talked about what they saw and about what they heard. They were astonished. They were amazed at Jesus, is what they were. This should be our posture. If we take anything away from the Sermon on the Mount, we should be amazed at Jesus' words. We should be astonished. And we should, not only just when we open the scriptures, but in our everyday, because so much of what Jesus taught here brings us back to the basics of following Jesus. As we live our lives, so much of what Jesus said is not what we live, and yet what we want to live in our hearts, and we get to be impressed by him enough to have these words of Jesus dig in deep into our lives and take root, and as they take root, spring forth from them will be a tree that will bear its fruits in season. So the words of Jesus, the words of this sermon are Jesus' words. And by them, my friends, we get to be astonished. We get to listen well, and we get to follow him. The second thing I wanted to point out about this sermon was Jesus was teaching them as one who had authority. Okay, so not as the scribes and Pharisees, is what it continues to say. The scribes and Pharisees were the official teachers of the day. They had been schooled in how to think, how to speak, and with deeper attention to the ways of Scripture. They dedicated their lives to studying Scripture and teaching Scripture. Not only were they trained and raised up, but they were also given the authority or the office or the position of a teacher. You knew that they were teachers. That's who you go to ask the questions. From a strictly positional standpoint, not anyone could just get up and teach. And the scribes had the authority by the religious rulers to stand up. They had approval to stand up and teach. We can imagine that there were some teachers that were better than others, because that's how it goes. Some that have been that would have been more popular or maybe outspoken, but none of them, no matter how trained, how eloquent their speech is, none of them had the authority that Jesus had. This thought that Jesus has authority is very important as we go forward in Matthew's gospel. And it will be put on full display as we continue. Jesus has authority because he really is the King of Kings and Lords of Lords. His position was given by his Father in heaven, and Jesus not only had the position, but he is gifted in his duties, and he uses them for the glory of God and the good of his followers. We can think of it like this. Jesus was, is, and forever will be, and he will forever show us how good our God is. And as he continues to teach us, we get to be like this crowd. We get to listen carefully, be mightily impressed, and then yield to the authority that Jesus has. We get to recognize it and give him the authority in our lives. R.T. France, a commentator on Matthew, gives us a statement that kind of begs a question. It says this: the Sermon on the Mount compels us to ask, who is he that utters these words? And we know the answer is Jesus, but who is Jesus? And today, what we're going to do is we are going to read the Sermon on the Mount once more. We are going to read what we've gone over in its entirety. I'm going to give you a minute right now. You can get your Bibles open or your apps or whatever it may be. And we're going to start in Matthew chapter 5. And so you can go ahead and turn there now. It's not going to be, the words are not going to be on the screen today. But as you turn, let me set the stage for this particular reading of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. As these verses that we've come to today will serve as our guide. As we read through this, be astonished. Be astonished. Let us, even though we've spent 40 weeks here, let these words be fresh as we read them. Even though we've maybe read them hundreds and if not thousands of times in our lives, let us hear and understand and implement the authority of Jesus' words into our lives. And we are amazed. Let us come amazed because of the authority of Jesus in our life. And then I say this, let Jesus have his authority without our needs to justify our own lives, whether what we're doing right or wrong. Let us let go of ourselves and cling to him who is truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we are going to start in Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, he, this is Jesus, went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do a people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've heard it said that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let whatever you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lily of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly and take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them under their foot and turn and attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him. So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teachings, for he was teaching as one who had authority and not as their scribes. As we end on the note of Jesus' authority, we are going to see the type of authority that Jesus has. As we move into next week, we will start to see the authority that is mentioned here in action. So let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.